with an overview of Parliament. Now, Parliament in South Africa in the last 12 months or so has seen an eventful period, much more eventful than what some may say in previous years. But there are, you know, there are no doubt complaints and no doubt issues that is Parliament doing enough? Now, the DA leaders, including John Steenhuisen and Chief Whip Siviwe Gwarubu, this morning briefed the media on its review of this year's parliamentary events. Now, you know, the party says that the DA caucus in parliament is pushing hard to hold the ANC accountable in an effort to rebuild the nation and ensure the abuses of executive power on the scale witnessed in the years of state capture, or should I say the state capture years, never occur again. Some may say that, you know what, South Africa needs to count their losses. Damage done is damage done. How much we actually going to recover from those state capture years is anybody's guess, if anything for that matter. But at the very least, I mean, it should be a positive move that these type of events never have an opportunity to replay themselves in South Africa. We welcome on the line Chief Whip Siviwe Gwarubu. Good evening, Siviwe.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. You know, you state that the parliamentary fire that destroyed the National Assembly buildings and the responses to the tragedy basically set the tone for the year in review. I mean, we could recall those events around about the beginning of the new year, right? And then we wake up to the news that Parliament is on fire, and then allegedly a person who looking for a place to stay for the night now, you know, is a person of interest and then finally arrested. But setting the tone to the events of Parliament, why so?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, I think we saw the lethargy and the lackluster sort of attitude from the governing party in Parliament. Our view is that this fire happened 10 months ago, and at the very least, a couple of things should have happened. One, an internal investigation into who's responsible, who must be held accountable. How do we make sure that we insulate the institution further from any further damage? And how do we make sure that this never happens again? The reality is that we can't have the House of Parliament gutted down and then we simply move on and just say, well, you know, that was an unfortunate incident. That's not how things happen in the real world. We've got to understand why they happened, how it was that it came to happen, and, or, you know, how do we hold people accountable and ensure it doesn't happen again? That's the one thing, which is not, it has yet to be done. The second thing has been, our view is that the stopgap measure that we have seen over the past 10 months of the gathering of only 120 of the 400 members of parliament is simply not good enough. And that, yes, of course, while we were displaced by the fire, more should have been done to find a semi-permanent venue for parliament to be held. And this is not just for the sake of vanity or whatnot, but it's because the not being able to gather in full and not being able to take the public along with us in the work that we do hampers the work of Parliament and its constitutional obligations. And so, and that's why today we announced that we are briefing our lawyers about how to take this matter forward, because we are the view that Parliament hasn't done enough. Yes, there's the 2 billion rand which has been allocated to rebuilding the institution, but we also just can't simply accept that this is how Parliament is going to be for the next 4 or 5 years while the rebuilding project is happening. It simply is not good enough, and I think that you know, Parliament needs to feel a little bit of heat. The Speaker in particular needs to feel a little bit of heat in terms of, you know, say that we're not going to accept, you know, a sort of a 30% sort of at capacity working parliament. You know, South Africa is in trouble and we need a parliament that works in order for the country to work.
You know, Siviwe, what stands out for you as Parliament's failures this year? I mean, we've cited a few, you know, the fire and the subsequent stopgap measures, as you've been referring to, as well as, you know, the fact that much of Parliament still happens to be online. You have members who are not actively there present where they should be, and they are either attending briefings or even the procedures itself while in a state of being online. I mean, amongst other things, of course, we've got the Pala Pala saga, which still hangs over the head of the state president. If you were to draw up some sort of a short list, Sivivia, I mean, what would you consider as Parliament's maybe top three failures that should never be repeated?
I think number one, I mean, the Zondo Commission report, stated exactly what, or at least made some really key recommendations to Parliament about how do we ensure that we insulate Parliament from power abuses, and how we ensure that we strengthen Parliament's oversight role. And not a single one of the recommendations of the Zondo Commission report have been implemented in Parliament. There's absolutely no reason for that to not have happened. We have repeatedly, for months, raised this issue, requested that Parliament start getting on with it and start addressing these things. And not a single one of about 15 recommendations flowing from a judicial commission of inquiry, which cost the country over R1 billion. And yet, the recommendations that process has come up with, not a single one has been implemented. Number two, I mean, we have, again, approached the speaker to say the matter around the president and the theft on his farm needs to be investigated. And Parliament is a good institution as any to make sure that we lead the charge on that. The criminal investigations aside, but we've got to, as an institution, hold the president to account. Again, every single attempt to have that matter fully ventilated and investigated has been thwarted by a speaker, either turning down our request for an ad hoc committee and the like. And it was only through the ATM's request for a Section 89 panel that we now have some semblance of something as it pertains to the Pala Pala scandal. But it cannot be that the head of state is involved in a scandal like this one and Parliament simply says, oh, we'll just wait to see what the outcome is. And so I think the handling of the Pala Pala matter is the second one. It also just, for me, underscores that no lessons have been learnt over the Zuma years. The ANC likes to talk about the 9 wasted days. The reality is that those 9 wasted years are continuing to this day. I mean, nothing has been learnt about how Parliament should do its job and how it should hold government to account. And then I think what has also been most disheartening was, again, just how the lack of accountability on ministers. But I think this one for me really hit the point home. We were active in driving the cost of living crisis issue in Parliament. We put forward recommendations on how we think government could cushion the blow to many ordinary South Africans who are suffering. When over 50% of South Africans live in abject poverty, we said raise the child grant, cut VAT on certain things. And all of these recommendations have been but ignored by the executive. And I think that if Parliament was united in saying that there are certain issues that are non-political for us, there are certain issues that are non-partisan that we will drive. And that is something like the cost of living crisis. But instead, we see the politicization of issues and the thwarting of trying to really hold the executive to account. And so I would say those are the three main ones.
Sivivia, I wanted to touch on a particular topic, right? I mean, the Section 194 committee, which have to determine whether suspended public protector advocate Busisiwe Mkhubane should be removed from her position. How do you feel that Section 194 committee is going and doing their work? I mean, we've seen basically a pendulum of discussions taking place in the weeks leading up to today, wherein you've seen issues with the legal team and the public protector herself also taking the stand. How do you feel that commission is, that part of Parliament is going?
Look, I mean, we remain committed to seeing the process through, and our members on that committee have really held the line in making sure that we continue with the work that we set out to do. This is the first of its kind of an open inquiry into a Chapter 9 institution. And so, you know, our view that, you know, regardless of some of the attempts to thwart the work, delay the work, we're going to stay the course. And we're going to make sure that Parliament does what it's meant to do. You know, because again, you know, if we have a functioning Parliament, then we will make sure that, you know, those people who fail to uphold their oath in office, they're held to account. And that's all that we want. And I think a lot of people often mistake that with saying you want a particular outcome. And the reality is that that's not the case. I mean, regardless of what, if, for instance, if I were to make an example, you know, of the Section 89 in independent parliament to the Palapala matter, we are simply saying, regardless of what the outcome is, but we want to send a strong message that it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the head of state, whether you're a public protector, whether you're an ordinary South African. The rules apply to everybody, and the law applies to everybody equally. And so that is why for us, you know, again, it's not about the outcome and whether or not that's the outcome we want, but it's about the fairness, it's about upholding the Constitution. That's why we're going to continue being committed to that process, regardless of some of the attacks that it has sustained. We still have faith that it can produce some credible results.
Chief Whip Siruwe Gwarabu, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International, and have a good, rest of the year, noting that it's end of this month and work's coming to an end, and looking forward to talking to you about the progress of the party coming the new year, 2023. Siruwe, thank you for your time once again.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, that's an overview of the work of Parliament. And, you know, people may say that South Africa's Parliament hasn't got really much to write home back to.